This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Irma finally weakens. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Monday, September 11. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The biggest hurricane to ever form in the Atlantic is now a Category 1 storm. It hit the Florida Keys first before swinging west. We'll have updates from Tampa and Miami.
Homeowners in Florida may face an unexpected reality now. Their insurance policies don't cover flooding.
In Texas, authorities say a gunman murdered seven people at a football-watching party in Plano before police shot and killed him.
And on the travel front, the comfortable new planes that airlines won't be offering us.
Sales have been really slow. The comfort features just haven't swayed airlines. And it turns out there are two airlines flying the airplane, and they say, you know, people aren't willing to pay more for comfort.
Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney on just how comfortable the new planes are and why we won't be boarding them anytime soon. He's here in about 20 minutes. Hurricane Irma has been downgraded to a Category 1 storm as it moved in from the west coast of Florida near the Tampa and Orlando metro areas this morning. It was still carrying winds of up to 85 miles an hour. Tampa Mayor Bob Buckhorn.
All of our teams have been in place for a while. We were thinking we were going to go help our friends and neighbors on the East Coast, but it turns out that we were the ones staring into the abyss.
The storm first hit the Keys, then Marco Island. More than 4 million people are without power. At some estimates are at 7 million without power thanks to high winds and storm surges. Roofs were ripped off. City streets flooded. Major Richard Rand with the North Miami Beach Police Department.
The biggest problem so far is the power lines that are down. Our biggest concern is people are going to think that it's safe to come outside.
Apartment towers in Miami swayed in the high winds. Three construction cranes on top of buildings were snapped, and small white-capped waves could be seen in flooded streets between city office towers. The storm killed at least 28 people as it barreled through the Caribbean. Irma reportedly hit parts of Cuba with waves that were 36 feet high. President Trump is praising the cooperation of state and federal officials in Florida in response to Hurricane Irma. The president held hurricane prep meetings over the weekend with aides and cabinet members while he stayed at Camp David in Maryland.
Every group is coordinated really well. I mean, the bad news is that this is some big monster.
The White House said Mr. Trump has spoken with state and local officials, including the governors of Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee, as well as Florida. He expects to visit soon.
Well, I hope there aren't too many people in the path. You don't want to be in that path. That's a path you don't want to be in, and we tried to warn everybody.
Yesterday, Vice President Mike Pence and other administration officials visited the Federal Emergency Management Agency Command Center in Washington, D.C. Kathleen Fox, acting deputy administrator of FEMA, said that as of Sunday, more than 13,000 people from a variety of agencies like the Coast Guard and the EPA are positioned in and around Florida. Let's get an update now from the west coast of Florida. We're joined now by Gordon Bird. He's program director at 1250 WHNZ, our big affiliate in Tampa. Gordon, what are you feeling this morning?
Well, we've been feeling hurricane force, or at least tropical storm force winds, for the last 7 or 8 hours and continue to feel them. It's just been going steadily all night with very little, if any, break. Wind strong enough, you certainly can't stand outside for a length of time. It'll push you back. And we are about 6 blocks from the Intracoastal Waterway, but we're on fairly high ground, so we have not experienced storm surge here, and we're hopeful that because of the direction the storm took, that that may be minimized here where we are in Clearwater.
You still have power?
No. I lost it about 11:30 last night, and about 1 million people give or take, in this region of Florida alone are sharing that situation. And if you throw in other parts of the state, of course, it's well into the millions of people who are in the dark.
What were evacuations like around your neck of the woods, Gordon?
Sort of haphazard, but as it was, the shelters filled up, which surprised me. I think a lot more people took this storm seriously than we might have thought a couple of days out. And near the end there, shelters were pretty close to capacity in most places. People were able to find shelter, but it seems as though people took this seriously, and people who needed to evacuate, people in low-lying areas and mobile homes, took the advice and got out.
The storm took that shift where it kind of curled around the west coast of Florida. That catch folks off guard, because you didn't have the same amount of warning that folks in, say, the Keys did.
We had known for a couple of days that it was going to be a possibility, and so it wasn't quite as if we were expecting something and then got totally caught off guard.
Okay.
However, there was it was not what we were expecting initially, and right to the last moment, the track of the storm was very much in question, and we got, I think, a bit of a break ending up on the west side of where the eye went, certainly minimizing storm surge for us, but certainly maximizing problems to the area just to the east of us between Tampa and Orlando, where the eye wall went through and where they got the strong easterly winds. That would be places such as Lakeland and Winter Haven and areas between Tampa and Orlando. It appears they got the worst of it.
Mm. We're speaking with Gordon Bird. He's the program director at our affiliate 1250 WHNZ in Tampa, talking about Hurricane Irma coming ashore. How big of a concern is flooding at this point where you are in Clearwater with that near the intercoastal waterway?
There's a lot of high ground that's within a few blocks of the intercoastal. So there were a lot of areas that are not part of an evacuation. It was serious enough of a concern that Pinellas County issued its two. They went to two evacuation zones up from sea level, which is more than most counties did. And so far, we've not gotten any reports of a tremendously serious problem that was unexpected with storm surge. And it seems like we might have gotten a bit of a break. From what I'm hearing subjectively from media reports here, it seems most of the difficulty was wind related, and it was to the east. So far, we haven't had many problems reported with storm surge. It seems as though people who were in peril, who were in danger of that, heeded the warnings and got out of the way.
Thanks, Gordon. That's Gordon Bird, program director at our affiliate in Tampa, 1250 WHNZ. 14 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Mass murder at a home in Plano, Texas, just north of Dallas, where authorities say eight people were shot to death, including the gunman. Police say it happened at a football watching party. DallasNews.com says a man opened fire inside the party at a single-family home at around 8 p.m. last night. A total of seven were killed in the melee, while another two were hospitalized. Plano police spokesman David Tilley.
The first arriving officer on scene made entry inside the house, confronted the suspect, ultimately shooting and killing him. Once we went through the residence, we were able to locate nine additional victims, seven of which were deceased.
So eight in total, including the gunman, were killed. The victims and suspect have not been identified. All of those killed and injured were believed to be adults. Police have also not determined a motive for the shooting. Additional details were not immediately available. Mr. Tilley said it's a typically quiet neighborhood. He could not say whether police had been called to the home before last night. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a massive but weakening Hurricane Irma is zeroing in on the Tampa Bay region after hammering much of Florida with roof-ripping winds, gushing floodwaters, and widespread power outages. Irma continues its slog north along Florida's western coast, having blazed a path of destruction, leaving nearly 4 million people without power. Rob Gould of Florida Power and Light says crews will start working as soon as possible.
We're just ready to get out there and begin restoring power as quickly as we can. once these winds subside.
With communication cut off to some of the Florida Keys, many are holding their breath as damage begins to be assessed. The monster storm measured more than 400 miles wide, and its winds of up to 130 miles per hour sucked the ocean water out of bays, swamped much of downtown Miami, and toppled at least three construction cranes, two over downtown Miami and one in Fort Lauderdale. With ports mended and weather cleared, officials sent in more aid and arranged stepped-up evacuations today in remote Caribbean islands devastated and cut off by Irma. The storm stripped the island's formerly lush green hills to a brown stubble and flattened buildings, then swamped much of Cuba's coastline. At least 28 people have died on islands, including Barbuda and St. Martin. In Mexico, life for many has moved outdoors in quake-shocked areas after Thursday night's 8.1 magnitude earthquake. The earthquake has killed at least 90 people across southern Mexico. Thousands of houses and hundreds of schools have been damaged or destroyed, and hundreds of thousands are without drinking water. While the U.S. contends with the destruction caused by two ferocious hurricanes in 3 weeks, Americans are also marking the anniversary of one of the nation's most scarring days. Thousands of 9/11 victims, relatives, survivors, rescuers, and others are expected to gather today at the World Trade Center to remember the deadliest terror attack on U.S. soil. President Trump will participate in a ceremony today at the Pentagon. And top seed Rafa Nadal completed his dominant two-week run at the U.S. Open with a straight set victory yesterday over Kevin Anderson of South Africa. Nadal never lost serve in completing his third U.S. Open championship and first since 2013. Nadal has 16 Grand Slam titles, three off the record held by Roger Federer.
It was impressive. Straight sets.
He just like whizzed through the whole thing. But the path was kind of clear with a lot of people out.
True. Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. There's a new passenger jet with wide seats, ample space in the overhead bin, and an extra quiet engine. Sounds great, right? Here's the problem. It isn't selling well. From Bombardier, the manufacturer. Here's Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. Scott, give us the background.
Well, the background is Bombardier, which makes regional jets and other Lear jets, things like that, decided to make a bigger airplane. And this has been a decade-long effort. And they decided to do something a little different. They thought they could make a really comfortable airplane and also make it cheap to fly, economical. And they thought that would be a big hit with airlines. Turns out, not so much. Sales have been really slow. The comfort features just haven't swayed airlines. And it turns out there are two airlines flying the airplane, and they say, people aren't willing to pay more for comfort. And so it's really, I thought, a great example of the problems of supplying more comfort in the air, that many passengers aren't willing to pay for it and many airlines aren't willing to pay for it, so we're stuck.
I must admit, I guess I'm hypocritical on that front. I'll complain about the tightness of a seat and lack of room and all that, and if somebody were to say, hey, for an extra $75, get your room in your seat, I'd be the first one to say no. So that's
I think that's part of it. I think people tend to search for the cheapest price and pick the airline with the cheapest price, and if you say, hey, we've got this brand new jet and it's got big windows and it's airy and roomy and it's got plenty of overhead bin space and 18 and a half inch wide seats, that's an inch and a half wider than you get on a 737, would you pay $10 more for it? And the reality is, most people wouldn't. That's not a consideration when they're shopping for tickets. So the airline says, well, if people aren't going to pay for it, then why should we pay for it?
Yeah, all right. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. His piece is called The Comfortable New Planes Airlines Think You Don't Want. All right, so I thought it was interesting, too, this Bombardier C-Series has five seats going across the aisle versus six in the 737. So you're getting these bigger seats you mentioned, but as part of that, right, the middle seat is actually bigger than both the aisle and window.
Yeah, they offer two configurations, and it's a really neat idea. In one of them, you can have an 18-inch seat, which is a nice size seat, bigger than you get in a 737, for the aisle and window seats, and then you can have a 19-inch seat, a wider seat, for the one middle seat in each row. So kind of a reward to the poor passenger who gets stuck with the middle seat. Air Baltic has gone for that. Swiss did not. They wanted all their seats uniform, so 18 and a half inches across. It also has a wider aisle, and Air Baltic says one of the things people really like is that the flight attendant can be in the aisle with the cart and with a drink cart, and people can still get by. And that's kind of cool, rather than having to wait for the trolley, the cart service to take place, or have the flight attendant pull the cart back so you can sneak by.
Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday, September 11. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Irma weakens to a Category 1, but not before putting millions of people in the dark and causing lots of coastal flooding. 8 people killed at a shooting in Plano, Texas. 16th anniversary of 9/11 today. Sports: Cleveland Indians have now won 18 in a row. Monday night football doubleheader this evening. 23-year-old Kara Mund of North Dakota is the new Miss America. And the man who drove more than 1,000 miles to evacuate his 99-year-old aunt in Florida, and she was not happy. That story in about 20 minutes. Let's get an update now on what Hurricane Irma has done in South Florida. After arriving yesterday, we're joined now live by Manny Munoz, co-host and executive producer at our Miami and Fort Lauderdale affiliate, 610 WIOD. Manny, what you got this morning?
Well, more than anything, I think for most of South Florida, the power outages are the things that are affecting them. About 3.5 million people are without power across the entire state. Here in South Florida, Miami-Dade County has under 815,000 people without power, Broward 644,000, and Palm Beach County 524,000. So that's the immediate problem for many of us down here in South Florida. Other than that, there has been some damage, nothing major, some flooding, mostly what I experienced on my way home last night and in this morning. A lot of tree branches, things like that down on the streets, and of course there are curfews across Miami-Dade County and Broward counties.
All right, so you and I spoke twice last week, and one of the things that struck me as I went home to my family and I was talking to my wife about it was you telling the story of how you regretted not getting your family out in time ahead of the storms. How are things at home?
Well, they're actually good. I guess I didn't speak to you on Friday morning. The last time I spoke was on Thursday. My family did get out Thursday after right at noon.
Oh, okay, good.
Evacuated them up to Jacksonville, where, coincidentally enough, they're actually feeling some of the effects from what's left of Hurricane Irma this morning, but nothing like we experienced down here, and absolutely nothing like what the Keys and the west coast of the state experienced.
Yeah, all right. So explain some of the flooding.
Well, it was kind of unusual to watch. We haven't gotten any clear reports about what happened down in the Southern Keys from Marathon down to Key West. They took the first hit on the state of Florida from Hurricane Irma, but here along Miami-Dade County, Miami Beach in the downtown Miami Brickell area, which is a business center, saw enormous flooding as the bay came onto the streets, and literally 2.5 to 3 feet high waters were across some parts of the area, covering up even fire hydrants and things like that. That water slowly receded, and there is some significant flooding in areas that are prone to flooding this morning, but a lot of the water that we saw yesterday, dramatic video, and things like that while we were still kind of in the midst of the storm have receded today, and the only areas that are still flooded are areas that are prone to flooding from all the rain we've gotten.
Any estimates on when some folks might get back to work in that, in what do you call it, in the Brickell area?
I have not seen anything like that, but I imagine it's going to take a while. There's a lot of construction going on in downtown Miami and that Brickell area, and I believe the number was, I believe there were 9 enormous cranes atop high-rises. 2 of them in that area have collapsed. They have not fallen to the ground, but collapsed atop the buildings. There's a report that one in Fort Lauderdale has also collapsed from the high winds.
All right, and that's something I think that if folks were watching TV over the weekend, they noticed some of the networks continually showing cranes on top of buildings. And my question is, why were they left there?
Well, the explanation we're given by the people who run those types of things is that they generally take about 2 weeks to disassemble, and there's no way we could ever get that much of a head start when a hurricane is on the way. You're lucky if you generally have a week or 5 days notice. So they said the best thing to do is they generally let the top of it kind of swing around with the wind, and that is the best way to protect it. Somehow these 3 did collapse, break somehow, and I guess eventually we'll find out exactly what went wrong.
Well, we're speaking live this morning with Manny Munoz. He's co-host and executive producer at our Miami affiliate, 610 WIOD. How long for some of these power outages? Have you guys gotten estimates?
Well, Florida Power and Light, the largest power company in the state of Florida, has 16,000 members here from about 30 states getting ready. Once the winds die down, and I know already in parts of Miami-Dade and Broward County, they do have people on the streets working to get it done, and I imagine they have very few customers down in the Florida Keys, but I know down here in Miami-Dade and Fort Lauderdale, they're already starting to get work today, and I imagine once we're mostly restored, they'll start heading over to the West Coast and try working on some of those affected areas. But I read one quote today from one of the officials at Florida Power and Light that this will be the largest energy restoration project in American history.
Wow. How's the radio station, by the way?
We only have one phone line working. We luckily got Wi-Fi back up, but there's electricity, there's air conditioning, so we've got nothing to complain about. We've been on and off the air intermittently most of our 7 stations here throughout the last couple days.
So there is one phone line working. You tell those salespeople to get in this morning and start selling.
Well, we're going to take that phone line up so we can talk to people like you, Gordon.
Very good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Nice talking to you again. Glad everything's all right family-wise. Manny Munoz, co-host and executive producer at our Miami affiliate, 610 WIOD. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, This Morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, among the most bizarre phenomena Mother Nature has brought the residents of Florida during Hurricane Irma are the stunning pictures of the storm's fierce winds emptying out huge bays of water, leaving only the muddy bottom and some unlucky sea creatures behind.
Isn't that fascinating, by the way?
That is unbelievable. I mean, you're talking...
Where'd the water go?
How many millions of gallons of water just disappear?
Yeah.
Like that.
They could have used that like in Houston.
Yeah.
Just come in and like suck it all out and somehow relocate it.
Yeah, unfortunately it doesn't get
to
relocated.
California.
It gets relocated back with a vengeance is kind of what happens. So we say, so that's what happened to Sarasota Bay yesterday afternoon, leaving several manatees stuck in knee-deep mud. Several people posted photos of the stranded animals on Facebook, hoping rescue workers or wildlife officials would respond. Initially, the massive creatures were given water as they were too heavy to lift, but then several residents were able to place them one at a time on a large green tarp and pull them more than 100 yards back into the water.
In the face of a hurricane.
In the face of a hurricane and in, you know, knee-deep mud.
Yeah.
So moving around without dragging a manatee is hard enough as it is.
Yeah. Those folks needed a beer after that workout.
Yeah, exactly.
100 yards in knee-deep mud dragging a manatee on a tarp.
Yes.
In the face of a hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah, you folks are far better people than I am.
Yes. Double check marks and stars for them for their work yesterday. And, Gordon, we know there are a few things that can stop a furious baseball manager when he's in the middle of a heated argument with an umpire. Umpires may have found a new deterrent, however, to getting a face full of swear words and spittle in the future. Crank up the patriotic music. That tidbit was revealed during yesterday's Mets-Reds game when Reds manager Brian Price was busy giving the home plate umpire a piece of his mind after a questionable strikeout call led to the ejection of one of his players. Because the game was in New York, the stadium crew wasn't going to wait for Price to finish his argument before playing the traditional God Bless America before the seventh inning stretch. When he realized the song was playing, Price immediately stopped his argument, put his cap over his heart, and stood respectfully till the conclusion of the song. Of course, the umpire's reprieve was only temporary, as Price immediately resumed his argument the second the song was over.
That's great.
That is good stuff. And he even said after the game, he said, look, you know, I even kind of toned down his argument a little bit. He said, look, you know, God Bless America is not a good time to get thrown out of a game.
Very good. Good story. Thank you, Mike. It's 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
I have a bunch of deputies and employees who want to go out and do nothing but help others. But I'm forcing them to take a break, to take a nap. I have them placed all over the county. We're forcing them to get some rest, knowing how busy we're going to be once this storm ends.
Chad Cronister, sheriff in Hillsborough County, Florida, which includes Tampa. Meanwhile, having homeowners insurance is no guarantee against major losses for those who live in the path of Hurricane Irma. Most standard homeowners policies cover damages involved when winds blow the roof off, a tree falls on the roof, or flying debris breaks windows. They typically don't cover flooding. Homeowners bracing for a hurricane's devastation may not even realize they need a separate flood policy for losses from surging ocean waves or an overflowing river. The major flood insurer, by the way, is now the U.S. government, which provides coverage of up to $250,000 to repair a home and $100,000 for personal possessions. But you got to have a 30-day waiting period before policies take effect. This portion of the program is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you looking to hire and want to know how to reach the best talent? Then you need to use ZipRecruiter. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then the powerful ZipRecruiter technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. You see, unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on job candidates finding you. Instead, ZipRecruiter finds them. That allows you to focus on your business. No juggling emails or calls to your office about job openings. You simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. How about this stat? 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate through the site within one day. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon to try it for free. Again, the free trial, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hurricane Irma is taking aim at heavily populated areas of Central Florida as it carves a path of destruction through the state with high winds and storm surges that left millions without power, ripped roofs off homes, and flooded city streets. It has weakened to a Category 1 hurricane, carrying maximum sustained winds of about 85 miles per hour. The center is moving toward Orlando and Tampa, where Mayor Bob Buckhorn says his city is getting punched in the face.
We have not had a direct hit in over 90 years. But that hasn't stopped us from planning and preparing for what we knew was inevitable, which is right now.
The storm has killed over 24 people in the Caribbean, where it devastated several small islands, grazed Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic and Haiti before, pummeling parts of Cuba's north coast with 36-foot waves. The U.S. has called for a vote today on new U.N. sanctions against North Korea, though exactly what measures would be in the resolution remain a mystery. Security Council diplomats say the U.S. and China were still negotiating the text late last night. The Trump administration presented a draft to China and all other Security Council members last Tuesday and demanded a vote in 6 days. Former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon says the firing of FBI Director James Comey may have been the biggest mistake in modern political history. Bannon confirmed he opposed President Trump's decision to oust Comey, calling the FBI an institution. Bannon also explained what Trump means by drain the swamp.
Seven of the nine biggest, most wealthiest counties in America ring Washington, D.C. The permanent political class is represented by both parties. You're not going to drain that in 8 months. You're not going to drain it in 2 terms.
Bannon's appearance on CBS's 60 Minutes was his first extensive interview since leaving the White House last month.
I'm not supposed to take stuff from strangers.
Oh, well, I'm Pennywise the Dancing Clown. Now we aren't strangers, are we?
It was expected to do well at the box office this weekend, but perhaps not this well. The movie adaptation of the Stephen King book took in $117.2 million, giving it the mark for the largest ever opening for a horror film. It's also the biggest September opener of all time.
Get out of here. Nobody even went to the movies over the summer. All of a sudden, we're back?
Yes, they wanted to see this one.
How about that? That's good stat.
Yeah.
Largest ever opening for a horror movie. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. How about this for effort? Ed Condrat got off his shift Thursday night as a custodian for a small suburban Detroit school district and made a decision to drive to South Florida to pick up his 99-year-old aunt before Hurricane Irma arrived. Wall Street Journal says he took off in his Ford Fusion and headed south on Interstate 75 for Arcadia, Florida, more than 1,200 miles away, fearing that Irma could put his aunt, Mary Pawlowski, in danger. The drive to Florida was smooth. What scared him was the northbound lanes, bumper to bumper for miles, as everyone else evacuated. Got to his aunt's house 10 o'clock Friday. Guess what? She refused to leave. She said, "What about my stuff, my home?" He said, "It doesn't matter if you're dead." So he called his wife, frustrated, who said, "You just pick up that old woman and throw her in the damn car." Aunt Mary relented, but she did urge Mr. Condrat to get a little sleep first. They left 1 a.m. Saturday. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.